everybody knows it now, Valentine's Day 2018, Nicholas Cruz entered a high school in Parkland, Florida, and gunned down dozens of people. And as of this broadcast, 17 people have died, at least one teacher, many young men and women, you know, brothers, sisters, somebody's children. And immediately the liberal left, you know, the politicians in D.C. thought they had the cure. And the cure, they said, is more gun control. I mean, I'm talking now in less than an hour, they were petitioning from the halls of Congress for greater gun control. And I just got thinking, I thought, if they're willing to play that game and never miss an opportunity for gun control, well, I'm going to flip the tables on them and I'm going to say, you know what? Let's reconsider Big Pharma. This is Terry Beatley, your host of What If We've Been Wrong? I'm shining light into some dark places so that beauty, goodness, and truth defeat the schemes of the enemy. It's true, people are perishing for lack of knowledge, and we're instructed to have nothing to do with the evil deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. That's what I do on What If We've Been Wrong? Rethink, explore, and uncover some hidden truths so that more people can experience an abundant life and the joy of being set free from the shackles that hold us in prison. Welcome to What If We've Been Wrong? Big Pharma with these psychological, psychotropic drugs, and we're going to be getting into that today with a discussion with Dr. Rick Spinagle. He's an integrative physician who attempts a more precise diagnosis through quality forensic medicine. He performs an analysis and correlation of approximately 400 numerical biomarkers with extensive evaluation. And Dr. Spinagle has treated people from all walks of life, including people with bipolar, psychological issues, and a whole host of other things, because he's willing to look at the brain and reconsider what medical schools have taught and then what Big Pharma has done. And so, Dr. Spinagle, welcome to What If We've Been Wrong?
Well, thank you, Terry. I'm happy to be here and talk about this very disturbing event and the changes of the brain chemistry and the personalities of Americans, the influence of environmental toxins, et cetera.
Well, and so, we're dealing with so many environmental toxins today. And as you well know, you're in Florida detoxing so many different patients. But what I want to do today, though, is tie this in with the tragedy that happened on Valentine's Day, that's not unoriginal. I have pages after pages, Dr. Spinagle, of teenagers who have gunned down family members, school fellow classmates, teachers. I mean, it's crazy. And what they all have in common are these drugs like Prozac and Zoloft and Ritalin, and the list goes on. And so I thought a good place maybe to start, and of course you nor I know the makeup of Nicholas Cruz, but what disturbs me again is that we jump to conclusions, and we know that a lot of these drugs are causing the psychotic behavior. And so let's just take a relook at Big Pharma. Could you give us just an overview of this neurotoxicity problem so many people are experiencing today?
Well, we have a significant change in the neurotransmitter profiles or brain chemistry of Americans. In fact, I gave a talk to the Integrative Mental Health Society in California back in September, where I demonstrated changes in neurotransmitter profiles. We've actually analyzed over 11,000 at Spinagle Wellness Institute. And what's happening is our clinical research has proven that certain toxins, certain gases produced by molds, indoor molds, mold metabolites, one particularly, the trichlorothecine gas, it's produced by black molds, which are often hidden, will downregulate or shut down the enzyme activity of the enzyme glutamic acid decarboxylase. This enzyme is extremely important. It converts the electrifying glutamate, the most potent electrifying brain chemical, to the primary calming brain chemical GABA. And what we see, and what we've seen through thousands of patients, is the patients who are diagnosed bipolar, which we reversed in over 3,000 or 4,000 patients, is that they are actually not suffering from excessive dopamine, yet all the bipolar medications and labeled as antipsychotic medications sit on the brain dopamine receptors, blocking dopamine from the brain receptor. And what makes this problematic is that we have found that less than 10 out of 1,000 bipolar patients have excessive dopamine levels, yet physicians just a knee-jerk reflex assume that there's elevated dopamine. It's been an assumption for over 30, 40 years that that's what's causing this elevated electrical current, this trigger cocked, I'm going to ram the car, I'm going to shoot up the students, et cetera, et cetera. And when doctors prescribe these medications without knowing the brain chemical pattern, they block the dopamine from the brain's reward center, the nucleus accumbens. And these patients go into a deep dark side, a deep black hole. And you can look at this kid's eyes, Nicholas. Look at the picture. Those are eyes. The eyes reflect the soul. The eyes are the windows of the soul. That kid was suffering from a severe depression, and if he was placed on one of the dopamine blocking drugs,
and of course we don't know if elevated, he was. Well, I mean, we don't
and,
know.
And we don't know if he was, right. But we've got a pattern out there. In fact, a study was released last summer in which the number one cause of death in American kids age 15 to 24 is no longer car accidents. It has been motor vehicle accidents for years. It is now physicians who blindly prescribe these dopamine-blocking drugs to patients who do not have excessive dopamine levels, and it blocks the dopamine from the happy receptor in the reward center, the dopamine D2 receptor. And then they have this severe, deep, dark black hole, and it's causing major suicidality. Now, the issue is that these toxins, environmental toxins, various toxins made through industry. We've made 84,000 industrial chemicals in this country since 1930. A majority of them, which we measure at Spinago Wellness Institute, actually shut down the conversion of glutamate to GABA. A few of the petrochemicals shut down the conversion of dopamine to noradrenaline, which is a natural conversion. And so those are the few who are over-electrified and trigger-cocked, and they feel like they don't care who it is. It's not a personal thing. They want to ram the car, shoot up the place. It doesn't matter. They just want to crush something or shoot someone. So we have that issue.
Go ahead.
Okay, and so that's one thing you see in this kid's eyes. The other thing is the Prozac, Paxil, SSRI drugs that block the serotonin from recirculating back from the brain synapse between the two brain cells to the storage units. Those medications have been linked to so many of these mass murders, and the brain physiology regarding that is that the more serotonin one pumps out into the synapse, the more it inhibits the release of dopamine from the brain vesicles or storage units, which again shuts down that reward center, and it shuts down the frontal lobe where the impulse control and judgment are controlled, because those are dopamine-driven regions in the prefrontal cortex. So these medications are prescribed almost like candy. And there has been a correlation with multiple mass shooters of being placed on Prozac, Paxil drugs. And the bigger problem, one of the other issues with these medications, is that the Prozac and Paxil drugs reduce the liver detox capability by 70%. The phase one detox enzymes called cytochrome P450 enzymes, they're suppressed 70%. Then these patients have less ability to detox the toxins they're exposed to throughout America from bathing or showering in the water. That's where the petroleum chemicals come from for the most part. But the bigger issue that's changed since 1980 is that the impetus to make airtight, energy-efficient homes, and we now have gas chambers that trap the mold gases in certain mold mycotoxins, particularly, again, this trichothecene. We've proven we'll shut down the conversion of the glutamate to GABA, and these patients are over-electrified. They often become bipolar in a moldy dormitory or moldy high school. And again, the black molds don't smell. They're hidden a lot of times behind the wall, so patients and families don't know there's a problem. We've had many kids become bipolar after they moved to the basement, age 16 or 17 up north. There tends to be black mold behind the walls. But in Florida, you can't find a high school or a home with the humidity like it is that doesn't have some hidden black mold somewhere. It's fairly amazing. You have to have real experts. So that is a big change. And this kid has Northern European genetics. You can tell by his complexion, his hair color, and he most probably has a gene that inhibits his ability to remove those toxins. So we're seeing a rapid surge of this bipolar attitude. You can't fire anybody. They get picked on. The more of a dark hole, the more of a loner they become, the more they get picked on, and then they just explode because their brain is so over-electrified.
Yeah, and I just wanted to add in here, I know how quickly your average doctor writes a prescription for an antidepressant, which is ultimately what led me to you, because my daughter had had a whole host of ailments starting at 12 years old. Well, what we did not know was that the house we were temporarily living in was loaded with mold. Well, she ends up with, like I said, a list of different symptoms, but one of them, when we took her to a pediatric neurology specialist at Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore, the doctor said, you know, the good news is you don't have muscular dystrophy or multiple sclerosis. The bad news is, well, we really don't know what you have, and we call that fibromyalgia. And he began writing a prescription, doc. And I said, well, what's that for? And he said, well, it's an antidepressant. And I said, well, she's not depressed. And he said, well, you know, we found that people who go on to these antidepressants, they have a tendency to feel better, particularly if they have fibromyalgia. And I promptly ripped up the prescription. I continued the journey, which ultimately, now granted, it took me 5 more years, but to get her down to you. So what you're saying is doctors all over America are prescribing these antidepressants, the serotonin, what are they called, reuptake inhibitors, and these other drugs, and the patients don't even need this medication. It's making them worse. It's compounding. And then the average doctor doesn't even understand neurotoxicity.
No, very sadly, cytoneurotoxicity, over-electrified brain, anyone in the public, lay people, non-medical people can Google it and learn about it, and the majority of neurologists know nothing about it. You know, medical knowledge has doubled every year since 2005, Terry. And brain science, neuroscience, has grown exponentially way more than that. We had no idea how the brain worked, i.e. brain physiology, without the advent of PET scans. And as you know, I've got one of the largest databases of PET scans on neurotoxic patients and patients with Lyme disease, et cetera, in the world. And you can determine whether or not certain regions are overactive or underactive with the PET scan. It's the most sophisticated scan and for doing that. And when the fibromyalgia patient, let's define fibromyalgia. They finally got it right on the commercials with the drugs that treat the symptom. They turn down the electrical voltage. It's excess electrical voltage in the body. That same patient will have anxiety, insomnia, or even panic disorder because that's the excess electrical voltage in the brain. So in the brain, we'll call it anxiety, generalized anxiety, up to panic disorder. And if it's enough excessive electrical voltage, they have bipolar symptoms. Their trigger is cocked. The same electrical current that is in some patients 2 to 6-fold normal will cause the fibromyalgia. And the physician at Johns Hopkins who told you we have found that these medications help, if the patient is serotonin deficient, then they will prevent serotonin from recycling back into the storage units, and they may get some relief. But there's a particular drug company, I won't mention the name, that lied about their studies using these drugs, and that's all come out. If you read, you can find the studies. And so, you know, people don't want to go back and review. Once the FDA approves a drug, they don't always go back and review things. Often they do and say, we made a mistake. This drug has a problem. But the problem is physicians are blindly, knee-jerk reflex, prescribing these medications for fibromyalgia or depression. And the bigger issue today is that, and I wrote a chapter for a naturopath in 2010 who had described that the etiology of depression is derived mostly from two different brain regions. One is an overactive deep limbic system. It's a water-sized region in the midbrain. And if it's overactive, and serotonin deficiency and taurine deficiency can make it overactive. Did all that gut-brain research, looked at the SPECT scans in those days, 2006 and 7, comparing those to neurotransmitter patterns. And so if the patient has depression from an overactive deep limbic, they will actually feel more pain. They're more sensitive to pain. They're more easily offended. They're more sensitive to emotional pain, et cetera, and physical pain. But often the depression today is not derived from this classical melancholic depression, is what DSM-4 or 5, whatever would call it. It is more often today derived from an underactive reward center or nucleus accumbens. And those patients go into a deeper, darker depression and placed on a serotonergic drug like Paxil, Prozac, Lexapro, et cetera. And so the problem is not knowing how to differentiate depression derived from an underactive reward center, which is a dopamine issue, made worse with a serotonergic drug, versus depression coming from the other brain region, an overactive emotional center, we call it, or deep limbic system. And that's the psychiatric, quote, experts would suggest that they actually call the depression from the underactive reward center atypical. It's not atypical. It's becoming more and more common because of certain toxins. In fact, clinical research has really proven that the triclothecine molecule will sit on that receptor and block the dopamine from activating it in the reward center and in the frontal lobe. So it's more complicated. And one of the correlations with these mass shooters, there's been a correlation already with these types of medications. And if you give the wrong patients, particularly a drug that will elevate not only serotonin activity but norepinephrine activity, then which Prozac will do somewhat, and so forth, those medications can throw them into a bipolar state if they're already shifted in brain chemistry. A glutamate GABA ratio is shifted upward, and they're already two reference frames higher in their baseline electrical current. Those are the patients who can become bipolar very easily on those medications. In fact, where serotonin is said to be a calming neurotransmitter, it will flip and become excitatory or electrifying if the patient has too much. How do you know, Terry, if you don't look? How do you know if you don't measure the medication?
Okay, so sometimes it sounds so like elementary, so I know we need to kind of wrap up here. Are you saying, Dr. Spinagle, that that many, many doctors out there do not study the brain chemistry before they go writing a prescription for some of these drugs? Like they don't study it?
99.9%.
Okay. And so I'm going to wrap up this this part of the interview right now. You know, America, I'm looking at four ages, double space, 12 font, of teenagers who have killed. Like here's a Chris Fetters, age 13, killed his favorite aunt while taking Prozac. Christopher Pittman, age 12, murdered both of his grandparents while taking Zoloft. I could go on and on. And you just heard it. Dr. Spanagle said probably 99% of doctors are not studying the brain chemistry before writing a prescription. I know it firsthand. My daughter had fibromyalgia-like symptoms, and the doctor stroked a prescription for an antidepressant. And I am so glad that I ripped that up. Dr. Spanagle, thank you for being on this interview today, and I really hope we can do a one-hour-long interview really soon.
Well, that would be fantastic, because it's way more complicated than we can do in 15 minutes, and there's so many factors in this. And I think if we can do an interview next week, we'll know more. Hopefully we'll know what medications this patient was placed on. And I did do a press release back in 2012 on Adam Lanza, and that has some correlation. They just want to look it up and describe the fact that he had an Asperger before it came out in the public. That he had an Asperger syndrome, and it's there's a lot of things. Those patients get picked on, and then they build up the anger until they explode, and it's complicated. Let's do an hour. Okay. Next week or whenever you can.
Well, this was so timely today, and I mean tragically timely. And so thank you for being on, and we look forward to the interview that can be aired next week. So thank you, Doctor.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
I think it's really time to just take a step back and reflect. We, as Americans, we have always had guns. We've always had guns. I'm a gun enthusiast, so is my husband and my two daughters. My husband taught them how to shoot, you know, self-defense, target shooting. One hunts with him. Actually, they both hunt with him, one more than the other. But bottom line, guns are a very normal, everyday, you know, part of our lives. They sleep with a gun, you know, on their bedstand. And it's just a normal, everyday way of life. And I know that's different for a lot of the people listening. But where we come from, the kids grew up on 60 acres of land, and guns were just normal. So it's our Second Amendment right. And of course, we more approach it for self-defense than anything else. And so it really bothers me when this kind of stuff happens, these mass shootings, and the first thing liberals want to do is go take our rights away. You know, tighten more gun regulation. Well, I say poo-poo to that. And this is why. Because the guns don't go off by themselves. And we're always going to have people who are having, you know, issues. They're never going to be able to control it. And so what we need to be doing is taking a step back and looking at, well, what's causing this crazy? And I'm talking about it's exponential, the increase in the number of young people who are dying of suicide, or they die in these kind of situations, you know, mass shooting. In fact, it's the leading cause of death now, suicide, between the ages of 15 and 24. Doc may have mentioned that. You know, it used to be car accidents. Well, now it's suicide. And the people who are killing themselves, so many of them are on these antidepressant, antipsychotic drugs. So, you know, in fact, it was a judge up in Canada, he ruled that these SSRI drugs can cause children to commit murder. And he said that, he ruled it that way, I guess you'd say, when he found out that Prozac was the drug that this 15-year-old had been using when he stabbed one of his closest friends. It's just, these stories are so horrific. It's like Frankenstein. So again, I want to first focus, though, on Washington, D.C. before we get more into the drug aspect of this. So the first thing the liberals do is they go and they claim we need stronger regulations to, you know, protect people. And yet they are not looking for why. Why has America, which has always had guns, you know, we've had our Second Amendment rights, and guns are nothing new. What is new is Zoloft and Prozac and all these different drugs. How come they're not digging deeper into, you know, the story behind, say, Elizabeth Bush, a 13-year-old who was on Paxil, and she was responsible for a school shooting in Pennsylvania? How come they didn't look closer at, it's almost like eeny, meeny, miny, mo here. How about Kevin Ryder, age 14? He was withdrawing from Prozac when he died from a gunshot wound to his head. And then it was initially ruled a suicide. But 2 years later, the investigation into his death was opened as a possible homicide. The prime suspect was another 14-year-old who had been taking Zoloft and these other antidepressant drugs. I'm actually reading this from InfoWars, a great article written by Melissa Melton. And then, of course, we have the story of Kurt Denyish, age 18. He was on Prozac. He killed his father with a shotgun. Now, he's behind prison bars, and he writes letters trying to warn the world that SSRI drugs can kill. And so how come our politicians in Washington, D.C. want to just focus on gun control? Why is that? Well, it's really the fallen nature of man. When you really get down to it, you know, we're fallen, and these people want more and more control. So it's all about power, prestige, privilege, and position. And so one way to get more control is to make sure anytime disaster, a catastrophe, anything like this happens, that they never let it go to waste. Okay? And by me saying that, that does not diminish the tragedy of what happened, the loss of human life, even if it was just one life. But as of right now, it's 17. And so by me saying that, I'm not diminishing at all the sacredness of every single one of their lives. But nope, not our politicians. They just want to keep focused on diminishing our rights to own guns. And it's kind of odd to think that, well, they're doing this when the FDA labeling, FDA revised its label. So this is what it now says. Pooled analysis of short-term placebo-controlled trials of antidepressant drugs, SSRIs and others, showed that these drugs increase the risk of suicidal thinking and behavior in children, adolescents, and young adults ages 18 to 24 with major depressive disorder. They even give it an initial, MDD, and other psychiatric disorders. So they're calling this the black box warning. It doesn't get much more serious than that. And the FDA, they also admitted that adverse reactions to pharmaceuticals kill over 100,000 Americans each year. So, I don't know, man. It just seems like we have our heads in the sand. It almost makes you wonder, is there something bigger going on? Because I'd like to ask the pharmaceutical reps, with data like this, and with warnings like this, and with these shootings that are so on the rise, isn't it time to take your own accountability of these drugs that you're putting on the market? I mean, isn't it about time? Yeah, the liberals keep asking, how many more deaths will it take before we get some, whatever, sensible gun laws? We already have sensible gun laws. The officials just need to enforce them. And if they want real, you know, gun regulation, well, for by all means, they should at least be asking the question, if it's not being asked now, which it's my information that it's not, you know, does the applicant, you know, for that gun, do they have any kind of a history of psychological issues, depression? So it's all upside down and backwards. You know, here's a quote from David Kupelian. David Kupelian, he's written some amazing books. One's called Marketing, you know, The Marketing of Evil. It's one of my favorite books. And he says, it is simply indisputable that most perpetrators of school shootings and similar mass murders in our modern era were either on or just recently coming off psychiatric medications. It's just incredible. And that the young guy, what was his name? Adam Lanza, you know, who shot up the children in the Sandy Hook massacre. He was the same thing. Now, he was, it's my understanding, he was not so much bipolar, he was Asperger's. And so he had been constantly picked on and all this, but the same kind of thing. He had been on the drugs as well. So if I could sit down with a politician, I would be asking him or her, before you go after our guns, have you done an in-depth analysis? Where is the congressional committee hearing where you're calling in all these pharmaceutical companies and you're putting them on the hot seat instead of every American gun owner who values our Second Amendment rights? Why is it, Mr. and Ms. Politician, that you take every opportunity? I mean, you literally seize on it. You know, like a lion on a lamb, you seize on it to try to steal our rights to bear arms and to tighten regulations that are so ridiculously written right now. I mean, that you didn't even think to put on, you know, psychological background. I don't know. It just makes my blood boil to think that, you know, these kids died in vain. You know, if they got shot in the process of shooting other people, you know, or if they're sitting behind bars because they had been prescribed a medication that the doctor who did the prescribing, like Dr. Spinagle said, you know, probably 99% of the doctors do not look at the 300 data points that, like, Dr. Spinagle looks at. That these doctors who are writing the prescriptions don't even spend the time or the energy. Maybe they don't even know. I mean, maybe they're doing exactly what Big Pharma wanted, which was they send the pretty little drug rep in, and she gets in the door, and then they market their drugs, and they say this is the newest thing to treat, you know, depression, bipolar, anxiety, schizophrenia. I mean, the list goes on and on. And then what does the doctor do? You know, for the next umpteen years, he just sits there and writes prescriptions. It was as simple as that when I mentioned it in the first segment, when I took my daughter in. This was just for constant body aches, you know, and he diagnosed her with, and again, these are just labels. You know, so many of these are just labels. But for her, it was fibromyalgia. And as the doctor explained, I mean, this was just an over-electrification, and it happened because of the house we were living in had too much mold. And then the mold does its damage all across the body. And anyway, it's just crazy to think that we're living in this country, and we have always had gun rights, and we have not always had kids killing kids. Kids going into schoolrooms, You know, and I would say on one hand, well, it's just pure evil, because it is pure evil. But I'll tell you what else is pure evil? Pure evil would be a pharmaceutical industry which is making billions of dollars off of these drugs to not fess up, to not admit that they've got a major issue on their hand. I mean, it reminds me of other things in the medical community that once they got the truth, then they went in and denied the truth until so many people were either injured, you know, hurt, or had lost their lives. And so when will Big Pharma step up to the plate? So I encourage everybody to write to their congressman and write a letter demanding that they hold congressional hearings on the fallout of these antidepressant drugs, that they need to be digging deeper and stop covering up for Big Pharma. You know, here's the scary part too, is you can go onto the internet, you can look at a list of doctors, healthcare professionals who came out against the big pharmaceutical industry, and they found themselves dead, mysteriously died in a swamp, you know, died in some weird car accident, you know, middle of the night, things that look like suicide. Well, I'm going to let you know right now, listeners, that if I come up dead somewhere, it was not an accident. It was not suicide. They came after me. But I told my producer today that I'm willing to talk about these things. I'm willing to get doctors on to talk about these things because they have to be talked about. Because of just what the liberals want to know. When are we going to do something about this? When? Well, I'll tell you when. I'm doing it right now on America Out Loud. I'm so sick of, you know, my father used to say, and I'm sure probably your dad did too, you know, follow the money trail. Follow the money trail. Maybe your dad didn't tell you that, mine did, but I know you've heard it. Follow the money trail. It's true. It's at the root of so much evil. The idea that the big pharmaceutical industry would rather send in their pretty little rep, and she convinces the doctor that this is the newest, bestest, and the greatest. And they've got this thing so rigged that the doctors don't even go in and look at brain chemistry. I'm saying this, and I know it was said earlier. I'm finding it like it's almost surreal, but I know it's true. And I say I know it's true because I've been watching my daughter get healed. And after this long journey we've been on, that I know God put us on this journey to be able to help so many other people all across America, and to help people even better understand what happened over in Parkland, Florida, where needlessly, senselessly, at least 17 people have lost their lives, and the whole community, all those young people and their parents and the teachers are traumatized. You know what? Big pharmaceutical industry, you're in it for the money. You're in it for the big dividends and those stock prices and your retirement packages. But we're Americans and we deserve the truth. We deserve, you know, truth in business. You know, to me, this is the equivalent of like false advertising. Because you've got the truth and you're withholding it and you're marketing it as something that it's not. So we don't know if what happened over in Parkland is a result of whatever type of drugs he was on or he wasn't on. But just like flaming liberals, I'm going to use this as my platform to speak out loud on America Out Loud for such a time as this. To say, America, wake up. If you've got your kids on these antidepressant drugs, get them off. And start studying the brain. Find out if your kid has mycotoxins. Find out what his, like I had to do with my daughter. I had to find out what her, glyphosate. That's the equivalent of Roundup. Because if you don't buy organic and you're buying genetically modified foods, guess what? You're getting a little trace of Roundup in almost everything you eat. Well, my daughter's glyphosate level was so incredibly high, it blew my mind. You know, and it was only to find out that so much of the food I'd given her, even though it was low in sugar and all these other things, shoot, because it had wheat, and the wheat had little traces of glyphosate in it. All right, we're shining light in dark places, and I just really want to encourage, I want to encourage you to stand strong, to speak up for truth, and to share these podcasts on America Out Loud. You know, it's where the silent voices are heard, and it's time. America, it's time to be liberated with the truth. I'll be right back.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutLoud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Back on What If We've Been Wrong, and today we've been taking a look at this tragic school shooting that happened with a possibility that it's not so much that gun regulations need to be tightened up, but it could be that there's something much grander at the root of what's causing these types of shootings all across America. And what we're talking about, of course, is the are these antidepressant drugs, these antipsychotic drugs that have been ruled to be so dangerous for young people. Today, suicide is the number one killer of young people between age 15 and 24 years old. And as it turns out, a lot of these young people have been placed on these antidepressant drugs. And there's now just page after page after page of young people who snapped, and they as a result of it, they've killed other people. I mean, strange things. Like there's this Jared Victor, age 15. He was on Paxil, and after 5 days, he stabbed his grandmother 61 times. There was a young man in Huntsville, Alabama. Oh, well, he was on Ritalin, and he went psychotic, chopping up his parents with an axe and also killing one sibling and almost murdering another. I could go through this list, but nobody wants to listen to all those horrible stories. The point is that all of these people were on these antipsychotic drugs, and our gun laws that they keep wanting to, you know, take more and more away, if the politicians were smart, they would not let the HIPAA laws, the HIPAA, I forget what it stands for, but it's all about privacy, patient privacy laws. They would not be letting the HIPAA laws supersede the right to find out if a person who's trying to buy a gun has had any psychological disorders in the past. So the HIPAA, which it's my understanding that that's illegal to find out. It's my understanding that if that person is on antidepressant drugs, they don't have to disclose that. because the HIPAA laws supersede the what people have to disclose in order to get a gun. It just, it makes no sense. It's like the politicians, and again, it's the more left-leaning politicians who want more and more power, but then will do something like that to so undermine being able to protect the citizens. The other thing we did in the first segment was we talked to Dr. Rick Spinagle from the Spinagle Wellness Institute. He treats brain neurotoxicity, and he's going to be coming back on. I'm hoping it'll be for next week's program for an entire hour, all three segments, and he will go in depth. I encourage people, though, to even to go to his website. You can look up, let's see, you can click on depression or anxiety and read article after article, which explains the what's going on in the brain or the different possibilities, what's going on in the brain chemistry, which triggers, it could be OCD behavior, obsessive compulsive, it could, which then can grow into, you know, greater anxiety, it can grow into depression, it can later grow into like schizophrenia, depending on the toxins that are in the body, and then how those are impacting the brain chemistry. And so he's going to be going over that in great depth. And then the other thing that he touched on is, so what's happened to create or to cause so many people who feel sad, depressed, down, lethargic, you know, without energy, OCD, where so many of these diseases have gone up tenfold, 10 to 20-fold over the last 30 to 40 years. His hypothesis, interestingly, is that beginning back in the 1970s, we shifted from building homes out of plaster walls, which are highly resistant to molds, and we started building homes out of, or at least in Virginia, we call it sheetrock. You know, it's a lot cheaper, you know, than plaster walls, but sheetrock, when it becomes wet or damp, it can grow mold, and it can grow mold very, very quickly. And so the other factor that happened is the homes began to be built airtight, because we got these energy efficient homes and airtight windows and all that. And so, like, he called them gas chambers. So more and more people are living in these gas chambers that are highly toxic with these mycotoxins that wreak havoc on the body. And of course, I'm not going to get into the science of it. That's what Dr. Spinagle will do in great detail. I just want you to know, like, a general overall, like an overview. And part of this is I've been personally walking this journey. And do I think it has anything to do with what happened over in Florida? I don't know, but I'm highly suspectful and suspecting, and so is Dr. Spinagle, because this guy, when you look at his picture, Nicholas Cruz, when you look at his picture, his eyes are like dead. I mean, he looks like a zombie, and that's what the drugs can do. It can also be what the toxins can do. If you know, if the person's loaded with toxin and they're becoming more and more depressed and that serotonin's dropping and all that, so I just think it's important for people to know and to know where to go to get the resources. You know, they're great. I mean, you Google these, just Google antidepressant drugs and mass shootings. Watch the articles that pop up. I mean, honestly, I had no idea until I actually pulled these articles up this morning that there were so many, because mainstream media, I promise you, is not covering all these mass shootings. They're all not, you know, I know some have been due to, radicalized, you know, Islam, but not all of them. You know, I would venture to say more of them are due to these young people being put on these antidepressant drugs. And then here's something else sort of interesting. It should be also noted that the Associated Press conducted a five-month investigation and found the drinking water of at least 46 million Americans in 24 major metropolitan areas was already tainted with pharmaceuticals. And the report advises the federal government does not regulate prescription drugs in the water. Hello, America. That's one of the biggest things, and including even infertility, by the way. It's the amount of pharmaceutical drugs that are found in city water. And you can get the test done. I'm going to see if I can find the name of the company, but there's a water testing lab that's already done all the research, and you can get your local water. All you got to do is put in the zip code. Oh, it's called Tap Water Database Management Company. I think that's what it's called. Tap Water Database. So again, this is the AP, you know, the Associated Press, five-month investigation, and they found the drinking water of at least 46 million Americans in 24 major metropolitan areas was tainted with pharmaceuticals. And of course, you can't help but wonder, well, what percentage of those pharmaceuticals were antidepressant drugs, right? And so we're never going to know the full psychological effect of these drugs being so widely ingested, and what it's doing to the population. But what we do know is the cases that, at least that are in front of me, every single one of these, well, actually just about, I do see some that are 22, 25 years old, but these are young people committing mass murder, you know, and suicide because they were on these horrible drugs that are being written, and the doctors don't even know the patient's brain chemistry when they write the prescription. I mean, to me, it's kind of like going to the doctor and you have, I mean, like you're in a really bad car accident and the doctor just puts on, let's say you broke a bone, and he just, you know, slams that bone together and puts a Band-Aid on your skin, not knowing, like he didn't take the time to do an x-ray on the bone to really know where was the bone broken. Is there infection inside there that maybe a patient needs to be put on an antibiotic, you know, before they slap them with a Band-Aid? It's just incredible. All right, let's see what other goodies I can find here. Oh, I did find that the what was it called? The Sandy Hook shooter. What was his name? Lanza, up in Newtown. That he had been taking, and I don't know how to pronounce this one. It's F-A-N-A-P-T, FANAP, maybe. It's an antipsychotic medication that the FDA did not approve at first because, among other reasons, rather than inhibit psychotic behavior, the drug was actually found to induce it. Hello. There's so much cover-up going on. We could go on and on. Again, I just want to encourage you to, you know, just Google what I'm going over, antidepressant drugs and mass shootings, and watch the lists of names that come up. There's a website you can check out too. The website is SSRIstories.com. And of course, that stands for, you know, the type of drug, the, I have a hard time memorizing that name, but it was that inhibitor, the serotonin inhibitor. So you can go on to SSRIstories.com. They've compiled a long list of violent episodes, including school shootings, murders, and suicides, and linked each event to what antipsychotic medications the perpetrator was on or withdrawing from. Truth is out there, folks. And I do, again, want to thank the hard work of the writer of one of my resources here. I want to name her again. Melissa Melton. Melissa Melton. This comes from a January 10, 2013 research report called What Are Mass Murder Pills? What Are Mass Murder Pills? All right. Well, that's all for today. You know what? We're shining light in dark places, and I'm instructed, you know, to have nothing to do with the evil deeds of darkness, but rather expose them to the light. Expose them to the light. And that's what we're doing on What If We've Been Wrong. And I do pray for the families of the victims. I pray for the whole community, and I pray for our country. I really do. I pray that we can return to justice and righteousness. And part of this, part of both of those, is having the truth, knowing what the truth is, and then being able to stand firm and defend. And so I say it again. I'm not inclined whatsoever to commit suicide. And I know, though, they're knocking off people just like myself all over the country who dare to bring this kind of truth to light. And I do not fear. And so I'm bringing this truth to light because of the 17 kids who were killed, or people, I don't know if they're all kids, the adults and the youth who were killed over in Parkland, Florida. I bring this to the light. I do not know if that shooter was on antidepressant drugs, but it is highly, highly likely. Thank you for tuning in.